The Federal Reserve has been giving a gentle nudge to Congress. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell has been sending a message, low-key, but a message. In a speech last week in an interview with CBS 60 Minutes, he's basically said the recovery is going to be a while, and the government needs to do more to help see the country through this economic crisis. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and is a member of the Economic Advisory Panel of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Hey, Julia.
Good morning.
So Chairman Powell, he said, you know, this idea of a V-shaped recovery, not going to happen. What is our recovery going to look like, according to the chair?
Well, the chair thought that it's reasonable, possible that we could resume growing in the second half of the year. And he had optimism over the medium term for the U.S. economy. But he did feel that it's going to take some time to get back to normal.
The Federal Reserve has already done a lot. It's injected trillions of dollars worth of liquidity into the economy. It's lending to businesses. Chair Powell said the Fed could do more. I mean, can it, though?
Chair Powell said that the Fed's power to lend is unlimited, so it can continue to lend through these facilities it's creating as much as it needs to. He did distinguish between lending and spending. The Fed can lend money, but it can't give money out. Only the federal government can do that.
And he's suggesting the federal government needs to do more of it?
Well, Chair Powell is very careful not to cross the line between the independence of the Fed and the federal government's decisions. But basically, by saying it's not going to be a V-shaped recovery and letting us know the limits of his powers, it's a message to Congress that, yes, they should do more. They're probably going to need to do more to bridge this gap of what he said, 3 to 6 months, and prevent unnecessary defaults amongst businesses, amongst households, and amongst state and local governments.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Markets, meanwhile, have gotten a jolt of optimism about the future. Biotech company Moderna reported success in an early-stage coronavirus vaccine trial. It reported its vaccine successfully caused all 45 participants to produce binding antibodies at levels seen in patients who had recovered from COVID-19. And that has pushed stocks up this morning. Let's take a look. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 706 points. That is 3%. The S&P 500 is up 2.4%. The NASDAQ up 2%. The 10-year Treasury yield is rising at 0.69%. Now, for now, as we all know, hardly any of us are out there shopping. And for some already struggling stores, this was just too much. On Friday, JCPenney became one of several major retailers to declare bankruptcy. This has people wondering if more stores are going to follow. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Neiman Marcus, J. Crew, and now JCPenney have all declared bankruptcy. The pandemic has dealt a major blow to retail, but even when the economy was booming, these businesses struggled. They had crushing debt and too many brick-and-mortar stores at a time when people shop online. Experts say the lesson is if you can't do well during good times, you'll fall quick during the bad ones. Professor Eric Gordon is with the University of Michigan.
The pandemic didn't put these companies out of business. These companies, they were going down the drain before the pandemic. So you have to stay up to date. These are retailers that fell behind the times and were having trouble catching up.
Gordon says we can expect more closures and bankruptcy filings. All eyes are on other industry giants like Nordstrom's, which has already permanently shuttered down over a dozen locations. That's bad news for retail workers. Tens of thousands have been furloughed, and more layoffs are expected. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
This week, we'll hear about how some of the biggest retailers have been doing throughout the pandemic. One of them is Walmart, which reports quarterly earnings on Tuesday. The company's stores have stayed open throughout the crisis, giving it a front row seat on how our shopping habits have changed. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
One of the brightest spots of Walmart's business has been curbside pickup, a service where customers order things online, drive to the store, and wait while a worker loads everything into their trunks.
And that, during COVID, has just accelerated.
That's Leigh Duran, who follows Walmart for the research firm Kantar. Duran says curbside pickup has gotten huge because people are using the service to buy groceries. That's an area where Walmart already dominates.
We show that half of all of online grocery shoppers are using Walmart for their online grocery orders.
Walmart's success with curbside pickup comes with costs. Charlie O'Shea at Moody says labor is a big one. It's a manually intensive process for workers to pick out and scan hundreds of grocery products.
You'll see the employees standing in front of the shelf, kind of scratching their head every so often, right? Which one of these? And, uh-oh, we don't have it. What do I substitute?
Groceries also carry lower margins than the other products Walmart sells, like barbecues, bikes, or clothes. On Friday, the government said apparel sales dropped 80% last month. O'Shea says the crisis is changing the way Walmart makes money.
You're going to see just absolute blowout sales in, you know, food, consumables. You will see obvious softness in the discretionary categories.
Curbside pickup has one big advantage for Walmart. It doesn't have to deliver those groceries to your house. Brian Yarbrough is a consumer research analyst at Edward Jones. He says curbside pickup is more profitable for retailers than online delivery.
It's the shipping cost and the free shipping that really eats all the margins.
Yarbrough says the pandemic is pushing more customers toward online delivery, too. While Walmart loses money delivering products to customers, he says it can still benefit.
For Walmart, it's about gaining market share and gaining new customers and offering the options.
He says what remains to be seen is whether those new customers continue to shop at Walmart when the pandemic calms down. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.